Jenny asked me tonight if we'd need Kleenex tonight. I didn't think so. But then we hear some of these prayer requests, and it's kind of rough. But it's kind of interesting at work this week. I was in getting a cup of coffee in the dining room, and the chaplain at work, Reverend Flo. She's actually a pretty nice lady, but we get along pretty well. But she came up to me, and it was kind of funny. And she's probably closing in. She's probably mid-60s, closing in on 70 maybe. And she came up to me, and she goes, did you hear that Zondervan is selling out? And I said, no, I didn't know that. She goes, yeah, they're selling it out, and they're selling it to a publisher that prints satanic Bibles. And I'm like, well, they already do. But she goes, did you know? This just kind of struck me funny. She goes, so I typed it up on the internet, and I Googled it. And she goes, did you know that the NIV has changed words and that there's verses missing from that Bible? She's a reverend. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. I know all about that. In fact, I started giving her some examples, and she goes, I guess that's why I stick with the King James Bible, you know. And I said, it's amazing, even the new King James is rotten. And she goes, really? I go, yeah, they're all bad. I said, it's unbelievable. If it says new or revised or anything like that, I said, they did something to it. And I said, they messed it up. They thought they had a better idea than God. You know, yeah, I bet God's really excited that He created man so they could help Him out. You know, He's write a book. You know, I know He created the universe, but writing a book, that's a pretty big task. Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty bad. I had this kind of a funny experience happen at work. Unbelievable. This is so far off the subject, it's not even funny, but there's a there's this guy that works the guard's dining room at our work. And he's, what would you say, a little light in the loafers, I guess, so would you say? He's probably, I would say, a homosexual of some sort. I don't know if there's sorts of homosexuals, but anyways, every day I go in there, I say, how you doing today? And he goes, oh, I'm doing fine. You know, he's got that voice, you know. But he's real kind of, he just kind of said a man of few words, you know, if you want to, and he just doesn't say much. And the other day I was in there, it was Friday, last Friday, and I go, so, hey, how you doing today? And he goes, oh, I tell you, it's just been busy, busy, busy. He said, I just tell you, they've been cooking things wrong, the fish, they put it in the wrong oven and it's mushy. And the potatoes are supposed to be cooked in this oven, but they put it in this oven, and it takes 3 hours in that oven. I don't know, but I had to put the fish out here. It's mushy, but I had to put something out here, you know. And he's just, and I'm like going, whoa, you know. But I said, he goes, I just never seen it this busy before. I'm just running all over the place. I was like, oh my, that kind of lightened the day. That was kind of funny. All right. Well, we're going to need some prayer for that. Oh, we already prayed, didn't we? Probably should pray again. All right, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9. I've been in there quite a bit the last few times I've been up here, but kind of like the final chapter in this, talking about wisdom. You know, we've been talking about that a lot here lately. And I don't mean to bore you with it again, but there's something here that I saw when I was studying before that I wanted to share with you. And every one of us in here is at a different stage, if you will, in their Christian walk. You're progressing down the Christian road. It is a narrow road. And it is you face a lot of traffic coming the other direction, and it's a you face opposition, You're going to face opposition. If you're not right now, you're going to face opposition. And it's something to help you grow. It's just like when I used to play football in high school, the game would be no fun if there wasn't a defense. It's like, boom, boom, boom. You know, it'd be like, ooh, this is fun, you know. But you learn, you know, you face different people each week. You got to learn new blocking schemes, a different defense, different ways to go about it and everything like that. You got to learn your plays, obviously, or it's just not going to work. And it's just it's a growing thing. It's a learning experience. And that's the way the Christian life is. Every day you face different blocks in the road, things you got to get around, things you need to face. And I noticed in, we'll get going here, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, we'll read the first six verses. Wisdom hath builded her house. We've talked about this already. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maid, and she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. It's kind of interesting. You look at that and you're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? You know what I mean? There's a lot there. There's a lot of information. There's all about wisdom and what she does. And we're going to kind of go through that. But you go down to 13, and all of a sudden we see the opposition. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in the secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Interesting. A lot of the same words, a lot of the same verses, a lot of things said over and over again there that we read about wisdom. So it's a path. It's kind of interesting. We're just going to go through this real quick and kind of see the different attributes of each party involved here. And we're all facing this on a daily basis. Each one of us has the sin that so easily doth beset us. We all have something in our lives that we struggle with. There's something in our lives that catches our eye once in a while that we wish we had, or something that could really get us off where we need to go. And that's what this foolish woman is all about. So let's take a quick look here at some of the things that are going on here. First of all, we'll look at wisdom. And we already talked about her attributes the last two Sunday mornings. The seven pillars, you know, we have the knowledge, the understanding, judgment, counsel, instruction, humility, righteousness, strength. All those are attributes of wisdom. And they're all attributes of Almighty God. And that's who we're all here to serve. That's who we're all here to learn about and to progress along that road, along that narrow road. Those are the attributes of wisdom. We look at the foolish woman. It says she's clamorous. Not glamorous. Clamorous. And you look at, I looked up the word clamorous. Confused din. Din is a loud, continued noise. Noisily insistent. Okay, not only is she clamorous, but she's simple. And she knoweth nothing. Not some very glamorous attributes, I wouldn't say. This is what you would call a battle axe. This is what you would call a loud, boisterous woman that you don't want to be around. You know, I hope that some of you, you know, I'm just saying that. I hope that some of you on your wedding night didn't realize that this is who you were married to, because I feel sorry for you. I've met some of these women, and you just want to get away from them. I've worked with some of these women. You just don't want to be around them. They're just loud and they're just obnoxious and they're crass and they're just you know, just kind of like, please, just go home sick. Please, you got a big problem, and I don't think you know what it is. But so you see that the attributes are just totally opposite of each other. The attributes of the wisdom and the attributes of a foolish woman. Now we look down verse 1 through 3. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. She's always busy. She's always doing something. She's not sitting idly by. You look over in Proverbs 31, verse 27, it says she... they always talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, and here in verse 27 it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's always doing something. She's always busy. And she's not sitting still. You know, we always heard that phrase, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And it's true. It's true. I don't know about you, but the times when the thoughts that you don't want to have start coming into your mind and the things you start thinking about or you do that you wouldn't do are usually about the time I'm ready for bed. When I'm just kind of sitting there, when I get home from work and I sit down and I'm just sitting there going, you know, you should probably get up and do something. Yeah, I know. No, I'll just sit here and, you know, let everything rot away, you know. You know, just, but no, that's when your mind is, when you're just sitting there not doing anything, you got to get up and do something. Or the devil's like, he's looking for a place to get in. You're just like, you're inviting him in. You know, hey, what are you doing? Let me talk to you for a while. And then those thoughts that you never thought you'd ever have start coming into your mind. And you start thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about. And it's just, it's not a good thing. So this, the wisdom, the lady, the wisdom, she's always busy. Always, never sitting still. Verse 14. The foolish woman, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat. That's her. That's her. She just sits there. Sitting on a chair on the front porch. The house behind her is falling apart. The dishes are stacked in the sink. The taters are boiling over on the stove. You know that? Sitting on the front porch. This is your foolish woman. Just sitting around, not doing anything. You know, and I'll tell you, you can sit around and, you know, maybe you got your favorite TV show you like, but when you start sitting around for 2-3 hours at a time, 4 hours at a time in front of the tube, what's getting into your mind? I don't think we know yet today what actually is coming through that thing. I really don't think. You know, it says in the Bible, I heard a preacher say this once, that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And we put antennas on the buildings and everything to bring in the power of the air. That's a scary thing. He's subtle. He's sly. He's going to get things into you and into your mind that you never thought you have. But it's just a football game. Yeah, just a football game. It's just a football game. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Really. So just think about that. Sitting around, doing nothing. That's your foolish woman. Then we look down a little bit farther and says she's in wisdom. She's in the highest places of the city. The highest places of the city. And you look over at the simple or the foolish woman, and she's sitting on her chair in the front of her house, in the high places of the city. Same place, almost. The only thing I could come up with on this, wisdom, you've reached a high point in your Christian walk. You've reached a high point in your way. You're going, you're on fire. It's a good time. We're knocking doors. We're street preaching. We're seeing souls saved. Handing out tracts. Having a good old time. And here's wisdom, way up here in the highest places of the city, going, come on, keep coming. You know, come on, don't stop now. You're in the high places, don't stop, because she knows there's danger there. There's danger there. right over here, sitting on her porch, is the foolish woman. She sees you out there in your high place having a good time, and she's over there going, "Hey, baby! Hey!" Loud, clamorous. "Hey, baby! Hey, I'm talking to you." Trying to distract you. Trying to get you to look off to the right or to the left. It says that somewhere in the Bible, doesn't it? Keep your eyes right on. Right on. But she's in the high places. She's in the spot just before you get to where wisdom is. She's like, "I want to head him off at the pass. I don't want him to reach that point in his life. He's going to do me some damage once he gets to that point. So I'm going to camp out right here at just a spot just below there. Just below there. Just before he gets there." Now here you got wisdom. Here's some more things we talk about. In the highest places, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled." She's out there with a purpose. She has a purpose. She's out there. She goes, "I know what you're thinking. I know the struggles you're facing. And I got a place set for you. I got my table ready for you. I got some bread here. This is a spiritual bat. I got some spiritual bread. The Word of God. We can sit around and talk about it. I got some wine here. We can sit down and talk about some things." And she's got a purpose because she doesn't want him to get distracted by this foolish woman over on the side. And the foolish woman says the same thing. "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for them wanteth understanding, she said, and stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." We'll get to that in a second. But just the total opposite. Wisdom has a purpose. She goes, "I made this for you. And we see the attributes of wisdom, so we know it's going to be good. Whatever she has prepared for this person, whatever she has prepared for you in your walk, she has a table set for you, and it's going to be good because she is good. Wisdom is good. The foolish woman, she just says, "Hey, I got some stolen water for you and some bread that you have to eat it out back. Don't let anybody see you eating it." Doesn't have a purpose. She probably doesn't even know how she got the waters. But it's just she has a purpose. And the foolish woman was just loud and obnoxious. Stubborn. Stubborn. Won't let you go. "Come on. Come on in. You know what you like. I know what you like. And I'm not going to go away. You see it on the billboards when you drive to work in the mornings. I know what you like. I know what you like to look at. I know what catches your eye. Yeah, you used to drink a lot. I know an ice cold beer sounds pretty good right now after a hard day at work. I know what you like. I know you like sports. Take your eyes off the road, maybe crash and get you out of the world so I don't have to worry about you anymore. The devil doesn't care about you. He just wants to cast you off. It's worthless." But then look at this phrase in the simple passage. Up in 15 it says, "To call passengers who go right on their ways." She's not worried about the sinners. She's not worried about the people that are living for the devil. She's not worried about the people who are doing wrong already. She's looking for upright people that are already right on their ways. They're already doing something for the Lord. To distract somebody that's already living for the devil isn't going to do her any good. But to get you to fall? How many other people would fall because you fell? How many people fell when Swaggart went down the tubes? How many people fell when Baker went down the tubes? How many people fell when Jack Scop down in Hammond went down the tubes? Yeah, if you're following a man, but still. You're trusting this man to teach you the things of God, and he goes off and does something stupid? Follows after the foolish woman. "I know what you like. I'll get you distracted. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here until I get you to yield. I'm not going anywhere." She's going for the passengers. Now that was kind of interesting. I don't know about that passenger thing. Passengers ride. So I don't know what they're riding. If you got any ideas on that, you know, raise your hand, please. Let me know. I have no idea. But it's passengers who go right on their waves. Then we look at the next thing, attention to detail. We got the wisdom lady. Everything's in order. Everything's in order. The table's set. She has the wine. She has the bread. She's killed the beast. She's all ready to go. She's got everything set. The lady, the foolish woman, she has guests in her house. They're taking care of all that stuff. They're almost like saying, you just get them in here and I'll take care of the rest. She's just sitting on the porch. She doesn't know what's going on inside. I think she does, but she's letting them take care of it. And you look at her guests, verse 18, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So you can imagine what's going on in that house. You can imagine it. And it's probably worse. Probably worse than that. Special night, but the wisdom, she's looking at this as a special night. I get to prepare a meal for this person and hopefully keep them on the right path and keep them going forward for God and keep them going forward for Christ. This is a special night. And she went and made sure everything was right, sent on her maidens and said, okay, come on in. We're ready for you. Come on in. I got everything ready for you. Spare no expense. So then we get... We look down farther and we see the specific guests they're looking at. You got in the wisdom lady is whoso is simple. Verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. So the people that are lacking understanding and the simple ones. Why the simple ones? Why do we go to the simple ones? Turn over to Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14, a couple pages over. Verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Simple man, he'll believe anything you got to say as long as you make it sound right. You got people that will, you know, are not real strong or don't know all the doctrines of a Jehovah's Witness, and they can come up under your porch and knock on the door and throw some bells and whistles at you and some flames and all this stuff and get you believing, wow, they got it right. If you're not ready for it, if you're simple. There's some things in my life, there's some parts that I need to learn more. I need to learn more. So I don't want to be simple. I don't want to be stuck in this position where, you know, I can be lured away in a certain area. I don't want to be in that position anymore. Some of it we can't do anything about until God gets us out of here, gets us a new body, new mind. But they're looking after the simple. Why? Another thing about the simple is chapter 19, verse 25. Chapter 19, they believe every word. Verse 25, smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. If you take care of somebody that's... Not living right. Say you're witnessing to somebody at work. And some other yahoo comes up and starts saying something else about a different religion or saying something about God that's not right. Saying something about the Word of God that's not right. And you say, hey, look, pal, that's not right. The Bible says this. And you show them what's right. And you tell them what's right because you don't want that person to stumble because of this guy. And you tell this guy and you smite him with words. Not, I don't know, you just wind up and punch him one right in the mouth, even though you'd like to. You know, maybe later on when nobody's looking. But this guy's going to take notice and say, wait, this guy's got the answers. He just gave that guy the what for and showed him and proved it. You smite a scorner and the simple will beware. We got another page, 21:11. It says of the simple, when the scorner is punished, there again, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Like, well, I don't want to fall into the pit that that guy's in. He's got taken to task by this guy that knows his Bible. So I want to be like that. I want to be like that, or I want to know my Bible. I want to be better than that. So you got the simple. But they go after these guys because they don't know anything. They're simple. They don't know everything. And they're easily lured away from the path. They're easily brought out and taken advantage of. And you look at the foolish woman over there, same thing. She's got the passengers. Not only does she have the passengers that are going right on their way, but whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, same thing. Same thing. The devil's he's a perfect counterfeit. He doesn't come into these new Bibles and change every word in them. He comes in and changes a word here and there. He's subtle. He's not stupid. He tries to be as close to Christ as he can. As close as he possibly can. The guys who show, that word in this Bible means the same as that word. Okay, which one is God's word then? Which one is the word of God? God promised us a Bible. God promised us his word. Every word of God. Which one is which? He just caused confusion. And that's not of God, that's of the devil. He's subtle. Just little things. He's going after. He's just simple things. He's just the foolish woman is not. She's not stupid. Says she knoweth nothing, but she's sly. She's slick. Slick. She knows what you like. She knows what you're after. Then we look down a little farther. I wrote this down. It's the wise woman. It's her bread and her wine. She knows the ingredients. She knows what's in it. She knows what's on her table. She knows who's in her house. The foolish woman has no idea. She knows I got guests in there, and they're in the depths of hell. She doesn't know what they're serving, but only like I said earlier, only your imagination can tell what's in that house. Why would you even want to step foot in there? Why would you? She got her bread and her wine, and then she goes, I have stolen waters and bread that can be eaten in secret. Okay, so right off the bat, she's telling you that what she has is something that's wrong. Right off the bat, it's stolen. It's stolen. And I don't know about you, but bread you have to eat in secret? That means you're not supposed to have it. That's what I would come up with. That'd be like when I was little, my mom and dad had a sleeve of candy bars up in the cupboard for the bus kids. You know, and me being the angel that I was growing up, you know, I went up there, mom and dad aren't home, I grab a candy bar. I didn't sit down on the front porch and eat it. I wasn't standing there eating it when they got home. Boy, these are really good, mom and dad. She gave them to us, not the bus kids. No, what did I do? I went down in the basement and hid the wrapper. It was bread I was supposed to eat in secret. I wasn't supposed to have it. It wasn't for me. But that's what the foolish woman's got for you. She's got bread. She's going to serve you something that you know. I'm not supposed to have this. Don't worry, nobody will find out. Yeah, right. Right, unless you don't have a conscience. Don't worry. It's okay. Stolen waters. They'll never find out who took it. Don't worry. Bread in secret. She'll never know. He'll never know. Just do it. They're out of town. Don't worry about it. Their husband's out of town. Their wife's out of town. Bread eaten in secret. Don't worry about it. Never find out. You ever think about the people who are affected by our decisions? You ever think about that? Little things. It doesn't have to be something huge. Like last night, we had this bag of peanuts and candy corn. You ever had that? It's like eating a salted nut roll kind of thing. And I was sitting down at my desk last night, and I ate the rest of the bag. Not the whole bag, just the rest of the bag. And I come home tonight from work, and my wife goes, I didn't get any of that. And I'm just like, I didn't think you liked it. Oh, they'll find out. They'll find out. I didn't know it was going to affect my wife like that. But it's, we don't, so many decisions in our lives that we make that are really important. We need to think beyond our own nose, beyond what we think is right, beyond what with the spur of the moment, and realize how many people are going to be affected by this decision. If I go bad, if I go do something that's just totally stupid, I'm not trying to brag or elevate myself in any way. Any man in here tonight that would go off and do something stupid, every family in this church would be affected by it. Every family. Hey, Mom, what happened to so-and-so? Hey, Mom, what happened? Where's so-and-so at? Whatever happened to them? Everybody's affected by it. The whole church. The whole ministry. Everything. The community. That's one less family that can go out witnessing and door knocking. One less family to hand out tracts at the state fair. How many thousands of people are affected by your decisions? We need to think. We need to really stop. And when we make decisions, it's a learning experience. It really is. Learning it every day of my life to stop, weigh all the options. Some of them, there's no options to weigh. It's like, are you serious? Get away from me. I don't even want to hear what you got to say. Some of them are kind of like, that sounds kind of interesting. But then you got to stop and think, man, Liv, are you kidding me? But man, Liv, how many of our decisions are, how many people are affected by our decisions? Now here's something, and then we'll wrap it up here. The wise woman, whoso is simple, verse 4, let him turn in hither, as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled, forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. This guy is simple, he's looking for understanding, and the wise woman comes in there and says, okay, come on in, you come into the house, have some bread, have some wine that I made. I made it for you. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. I have a solution. She comes in there with a solution. I have a solution to your problem. And, okay, great. That's excellent. So he goes in there, and it's a good solution. Forsake the foolish and live. It's a right solution. You're going to be away from the foolish woman and from people that are doing stupid things. And you'll be in the way of understanding. Forsake it. Forsake that stuff and go this way. Okay. All right. Just like I said earlier, she's up in the highest places. Come up this way. Come this way. Don't stay there. Come on. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. What does the foolish woman have to offer? Stolen waters are sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Boy, what an option there, huh? Boy, what a decision I have to make here. But you think about it, a person goes in there and does whatever this foolish woman has from the do, and everything is dead to him. His life is dead. There's nothing that's good in his life anymore. Nobody's going to listen to what he's got to say. Nobody's going to hear it. Everything he's got to say or does is going to seem polluted and dirty. She has no solution. In fact, his life is going to be worse when he's done doing what she has to offer. It's going to be worse than it was. He's simple and has no understanding. There's a lot of people like that. But they choose to go into the foolish woman's house. Now they're dead. Now they have nothing. They just put salt in the wound, so to speak. They have nothing left now. They chose to do something that they never thought they'd do. And now they're done. Now they're just completely done. Now they got worse problems than they ever had in their life. Hey, remember when we used to do that? How much fun we had? I was telling my wife the other day, and maybe I'm the only one in church that has this problem. That's great. You know, coming home on a hot day from work and seeing a beer advertisement. Well, some days it looks good. Just being honest. I don't drink. I haven't touched a drop in 22 years. Praise the Lord. But then right after that temptation, there's another voice inside me that says, remember that next morning that you don't remember anything you did the night before? Remember when you threw up that night? Remember when you got sicker than a dog? Remember when you had to call in sick because you had a headache? Remember when you had a hangover? Remember that? Okay, that beer doesn't look so good anymore. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for that. I'll never understand it. Let's go out and party on Friday night and forget about work. And then Monday you get to work and you got a headache too. Woohoo! What a life. And the Vikings lost. Really. I mean, it's an amazing thing. The foolish woman has nothing to offer you, but there is always going to be opposition to those who are doing what's right. It's not going to be a smooth road. I got guys at work, the inmates will go and they'll go to chapel and they'll go to Bible study and they'll start reading their Bibles all of a sudden when they get to jail, thinking that the judge is just going to forget all about that they've done. That's what they think. There's some of them that actually think that. Well, I've been going to Bible study. Oh, okay. Dismiss everything. Really? No, it doesn't work that way. And then they leave and get mad at God and blame the Bible and blame God didn't do what he said he'd do and, you know, on and on and on and on. Then the next time they come back, they're reading their Bibles again. It's not like that. It's not an easy road. It's narrow. Narrow means things can reach you from the outsides. You got to watch where you're stepping. That's why you have a light under your path. The Word of God to guide you through it. So I look at this, and every one of us is at a certain, like I said, we're at a certain stage in our Christian life, a certain area in our walk, in our Christian life. And every one of us is facing opposition. Maybe some of us have reached a higher level, so to speak. But there's still more ground to go. There's still, otherwise the Lord would have come back. There's still more path to go. We still have to keep our eyes straight on. Because we got foolish women on our sides trying to get us to go and do something stupid. Do something foolish. And ruin our testimony. And ruin our lives. And ruin the lives of so many others. We need to keep our eyes on wisdom. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. Let's keep our eyes straight and listen to wisdom and not the foolish woman. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. I pray that this made sense. I pray, Lord, that we'd help each other out. Lord, we'd encourage one another. We'd pray for one another. We'd read our Bibles and seek godly counsel and just seek the knowledge and understanding that only you can give. Lord, help us to stay on the right path and to do the right things. Help us not to be lured astray. Lord, protect us from that. Guide us and direct us in all that we do. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now as we face the rest of this week and in an ungodly world, an ungodly nation, that, Lord, you'd protect us from this. Bring us back again on Sunday to talk to one another, encourage one another, and just push each other on for you. And not to be idle, not to be sitting on a porch somewhere doing nothing, but keep on doing the work of the Lord and keep on doing everything we can with all our might to please you and honor you. And I pray that, thank you for these people coming out even when pastor's not here. I pray that you give us safety tonight as we travel each our own ways and go home. I pray for this brother that's flying home tomorrow. Pray that you'd be with him. Give him safety. Lord, all these requests we brought before you tonight, again, I just lay them at your feet. Lord, you are the great physician. You are the one, the only one that can bring salvation. You're the only one that can help us remember things and do things. Help us to pray for one another and be there for each other. Again, I pray now that you bless our rest of our evening here together, the fellowship to follow, and we close here in a song. And I just pray that we'd have a good time together. In your name, amen. All right, one more song, and before we go, is it 376? Yeah, couldn't remember if it was 67 or not. 376.
Think of the words of this song when you're singing.
Thank you very much for your attention, for being here. Appreciate it. Looking forward to Pastor being back on Sunday. All right. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming.